We are in Revelation, and we're continuing our way through the book, the last book of the Bible. Excuse me. Revelation, we are in chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, we're going to be learning today about the introduction to the beast or to the Antichrist, the one who is going to be the world ruler during the last days, during the tribulation period. It's not going to be a nice guy. Revelation, the end of Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to be reading through verse 8 today. Verse 10. I'm pretty much guarantee we probably won't make it that far, but we'll finish it off next week. But Revelation chapter 13, starting in verse 1. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it was slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshipped the dragon because he gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war with him?" There was given him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God and blasphemed his name, his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. That verse is amazing. When I looked at that last verse and I was studying this, I'm going, what does that mean? Again, I apologize, but we probably won't get that far this week. But it's really cool. So next week you'll figure it out. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your truth. And the fact, Lord, that you have told us ahead of time what is going to happen and who's going to be involved. Father God, I pray that we would take this to heart and show Christ to others so that they don't have to go through this. Lord God, it's going to be a horrible time. It's going to be a time when lawlessness is just going to be rampant. And Father, there will be this person in charge of the nation that runs the whole world. And Lord, this person is not going to be good at all. The Father is going to pretend to be you. And that's going to be the irony, because he will be defeated by you in the end. Lord God, help us to glean from this what you would have for us to know about your son Jesus. We love you. In his name we pray. Amen. Revelation, where we've come in Revelation, we've gone through the first 12 chapters, looked at the fact that the apostle Paul, that's a good one. Let's go with John, shall we? Let's go with the other apostle. Right? John the apostle is the one who wrote the book. And he wrote about revealing Christ. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ is what the book is. It's the theme of the book is to reveal Christ. What we saw, he saw a vision on the island of Patmos where he was there, and he described what he saw about Christ and how he looked and the fact that he was giving a message. He wanted to give the message to the churches. And so the next couple of chapters 2 and 3, we looked at the messages he had for the churches and how we can use that in our life today. But then in chapter 4, what we saw is a vision of heaven, and we recognized that the rapture had to have taken place right about then. Because the church now is surrounding the throne in heaven, And the believers, those who are part of the body of Christ, are now in heaven glorifying God. And we saw a vision of heaven. There's a vision in which the throne is there, and you have the living creatures, and then the elders being the representation of the church, and then the angels are all there. And there's a scroll, and that scroll, nobody in the whole of heaven is found worthy to open the scroll except for one, and that is that Lamb, Jesus Christ, who was slain. And it's amazing to see the glory and the majesty and everything that John describes in heaven. And yet it's that Lamb that was slain that is worthy to open the scroll. And the scroll being the title to the universe, title of everything. And it had seven seals on it, and those seals, he would break off the seals, and each of those seals were judgments. So we had the seven seal judgments, what's called the seven seal judgments. And we get to the seventh one, and that's horrible things that are happening here on this earth. Now remember, this is during the last 7 years, a seven-year period here called the tribulation. And that seven-year period is set off after the rapture at some point. When this man that we're going to be studying today, this what's called the beast or the Antichrist, emerges as one who is a peacemaker, one who gives peace to the whole world. And he'll set up a kingdom of peace, which is a fake peace, a false peace, because he's going to break it in the middle of it, and he's going to just wreak havoc upon the earth. And we'll see a little bit of that today. But those judgments that are happen during the last 7 year, or during that 7 year period on earth here. And those judgments, those seal judgments, are horrible, but you get to the end of them and you see in heaven, you see a time of worship. It's amazing. But then the seventh seal is broken and the seven trumpet judgments. So these are called trumpet judgments. So an angel sounds a trumpet and something happens here on this earth. And the judgments are against the world. So those seven trumpet judgments happen, and we haven't seen the last seven judgments, the bowl judgments yet. We haven't looked at them. But at the end of that seven judgments, trumpet judgments, what happened is an amazing time of worship again. So God in heaven is being worshipped, and we here on earth that worship him, it's just nothing as amazing as what happens in heaven. But during that time, this is kind of an interlude. And during that interlude, John is telling us about what it'll be like at the end and what it'll be like in heaven. But then he gets to chapter 13 here. And what we saw right before this in chapter 12 was the fact that he saw two signs. One of them was a dragon and one of them was a woman. The dragon was Satan and the woman was Israel, the nation of Israel. And you see, Satan wants to destroy Israel. He wants to destroy Christians because that is God's plan. Because eventually, after the tribulation, after that seven-year tribulation, the millennial kingdom will be set up here on this earth for 1,000 years, and God will rule from Jerusalem, from Israel. And so if Satan can mess that up, if he can annihilate Israel, if he can annihilate Christians, then he'll mess up God's plan, and that's his whole goal. Because remember what Satan's goal is. To be like God. I will be like the Most High God. That's his set out goal. And you're going to see this week, next week, and I believe the week after as we go through what's happening in chapter 13. What you're going to see is that Satan wants so badly to be like God that he sets himself up as God here on earth. And we'll see that in the beast. But that's where we are right now. So what we looked at is Satan was removed from heaven, right? Somewhere in the first part of the tribulation period, there's a war that goes on in heaven and Satan loses and he is kicked down to this earth. Satan will be rampant on this earth and he will go after Christians. He'll go after anyone, Israel, anyone associated with Israel. And it'll be a hard, harsh time. But remember, the church, those who were saved before the tribulation are going to be in heaven. They're going to be gone. But there will be people who are saved after that. There'll be a great multitude of people. But most of them will die because of their faith. So starting in chapter 13, verse 1, what we're going to do is look at an introduction to the beast or to the Antichrist. It says in verse 1, "And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore." Then I saw a beast coming out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him the power and his throne and great authority. What we're seeing here, the origin of what's called the beast. John here says, look, I was looking and I saw the dragon, who we know is Satan because of the last chapter, saw the dragon standing on the sand of the seashore. Now, as I look through Scripture talking about seashore or the sea, the only thing that I could surmise from that is the seashore is the sea is humanity, the Gentile nations. Because if you go down to verse 11, I believe, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. And I believe that's talking about Israel itself. So remember, Israel is very prominent in the book of Revelation. Very prominent, because that's God's plan. God wants to use, again, make Israel the prime nation. In fact, he wants to rule from Israel. And he will be. Christ will be ruling from Israel during the millennial kingdom. So we see a lot about Israel. All right? Of course, you get in the news today and you see a lot about Israel, don't you? And what's going on there, I believe, is just a precursor for all this, because Satan still wants to annihilate Israel. Because if he can do that, he'll mess up God's plan. If he can mess up God's plan, then he can be God. Then he can be glorified as God. And what we're going to see with this individual that he chooses and that he empowers is that he will demand to be worshipped like God. But anyway, he's standing on the sand of the seashore, which I believe is a Gentile nations. And when it says, then I saw a beast coming out of the sea, a beast. The word beast is, look that up. In the original language, there's several words for animals. One of them is a puppy dog. Or Lexi said they got 4 goats this week. 4 goats. Bottle-fed goats. I said, didn't your dad remember anything when he was growing up? We had 3 goats. Goats eat everything. It doesn't matter what it is. They eat it. And they climb on everything. And they cannot be contained. They climb out of everything. And if you don't want them on your car, that's where they are. If you don't want them on top of a building, that's where they are. And Ben didn't remember that. I couldn't believe it. So, but that's not the word that's used, all right? It's not that word that's cute little goat. Because Lexi said, oh, they're so cute. I said, just wait. It's not a cute little goat. It's not a puppy dog. It's not a kitty cat, all right? The word that's used here literally means wild, untamed, ferocious beast. So it's the character of this beast that we're talking about is wild and ferocious, all right? Now, remember, when we're talking beast here, we're not talking about an animal, okay? In fact, we're talking about a nation that's ruled by a person, a man who has the characteristics of this beast. So in here, when we're talking about this beast or this, I'll get into Daniel and we'll talk about the fourth beast. It's talking about a nation, but behind that nation is the heart of a person, the single person, and that person is called the beast. And he'll gain his authority from Satan. He'll gain his power from Satan. So it'll be very, very, very powerful. But that's kind of an introduction into this. But it says, "Then I saw a beast coming out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads." Now we look at that and say, "Oh, 10 horns? Ooh, that'd be kind of and 7 heads? What kind of beast is this?" All right. So what we're talking about here, the 10 horns, because if you look at it, it says, "And on the horns were 10 diadems." A diadem was a crown. So the 10 horns were actually crowns. It's 10 kingdoms that have come together at this point, whenever this is. They've come together and formed an alliance to rule the world. They will be ruling the whole world, these 10 kingdoms. And there's going to be one that, we'll talk about that in a minute. But anyway, so the nation beast is that 10 kingdom setup, right? But look what else it says. It says having seven heads. Now we look at that and say, well, is this seven influential people or something? Well, no. Because of what I mentioned before, that Satan always wants to be like God. He is striving to take the characteristics of God, because God is worshipped. God is praised. God is all-powerful. God is great. Satan wants all of this. He wants people to worship him. He wants to be all-powerful. He wants to be praised. He wants to be feared. God is a fearsome God. And yes, we look at God in fear, but in awe. Fear is in awe. With Satan, it's going to be fear as in phobos. It's phobia. It's completely fearful. Right? So because that's, but he wants the characteristics of God. That's what he desires. So where else have we seen seven heads? Back in chapter 4, we looked at the vision of God, and he had the throne, and around the throne was the creatures, the four living creatures, and then the 24 elders and the angels, but there was also the seven spirits of God. Remember that? Seven spirits. These are seven characteristics of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And here Satan is choosing one here, and he is forming this. He says, look, there's seven heads, having seven heads. Now, why do I say that these are probably characteristics of this one king, this one beast, this one nation? Probably characteristics of it, because look at the end of that verse 1. It says, and on his heads were blasphemous names. Blasphemous names. So, whereas you have the Holy Spirit of God, you have the seven aspects of the Holy Spirit, his love, his peace, his mercy, his grace, all of these aspects of the Holy Spirit. Here you have the seven aspects of Satan, basically, of the dragon whom he has chosen here. And these seven aspects are all blasphemous to God. In other words, all saying that God is not real. The true God is not really true. He is deranged. He is horrible. All of these wicked things about God and Jesus Christ. This nation and this man behind the nation is going to be proclaiming all of this arrogantly. And in fact, make it illegal, completely, totally illegal, to own the name of God, own the name of Jesus Christ. And many, many people will die because of it. But this is the aspect or the characteristics of this beast. So who is the beast? Because I believe this beast firstly is a nation, but it morphs into a person. Because as you look through here, it says says on his horns and on his heads, and it personalizes them. Well, we can see that through history. I mean, you see Napoleon and his nation. Well, it wasn't the nation, it was Napoleon. If you see Adolf Hitler, well, it was Germany, right? It was a Germany, it was a nation, but it was Hitler. It was his ideas. He was behind that. And as we get into this in Daniel, I think you're going to see that. If you look at verse 2, it says, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like that of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. This is a description of his kingdom. And John here is looking back at something, because I want to take you to Daniel now. We'll go to Daniel chapter 7, because Daniel had a vision in the Old Testament. He was looking forward to something. I want you to see that these things are reversed, because he's looking forward to the next four kingdoms. But Daniel chapter 7, if you go to kind of the middle of your Bible, open it to the middle, it's Psalms. Then you have Psalms, and then Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and then Ezekiel, Isaiah. Which one's first? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. So it's just like 9 or 10 books right after Psalms, okay? Daniel chapter 7. I'm going to read you, and you don't need to look it up if you don't want. I'm just going to read it for you. Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 3, I'm just going to move through this a little bit. Verse 3, it says, Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring on the great sea. The great sea, remember, the Gentile nations. Verse 3 said, and four great beasts were coming from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion. See that in Revelation? First was like a lion, had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking, and the wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and human mind was given to it. Behold, another beast, the second, resembled a bear. It was raised up on one side, and three ribs were put in its mouth between its teeth, and thus it said, arise, devour much meat. Verse 6, after this I kept looking, and behold, another one like a leopard, which had on its back four wings like a bird, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, we're talking about a vision of beasts coming from the sea, right? And we look at that and say, well, you know, again, that's an amazing picture. Okay. Did I do that? I'm sorry. I got totally lost. Okay. We're lost. But if you go down in that same chapter, in chapter 7, go down in verse 16, it says, I approached one who was standing by and began asking him the exact meaning of all this. And he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will arise from the earth. Four kings who will arise from the earth, all right? So you go down to verse 19, and says, then I desired to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast. So we're going to look at the fourth beast, which was different than these first three. But if you notice these first three, the first one was like a lion, the second was like a bear, the third was like a leopard. And if you go back to Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, it says, the beast I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like a bear, his mouth was like a lion. So this beast here, this nation, this king, that's behind a nation of 10 nations that's in charge of it, basically. He is incorporated into his kingdom all three aspects of those kingdoms. Now, what we know from Daniel is that those kingdoms, Daniel lived through those, right? The first one was Babylon. Remember when Israel was taken into captivity and Daniel was born? That was the lion who roared with pride. You remember Nebuchadnezzar, the story of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, isn't that such a great kingdom that I have made? And God judged him because of that. So you had Babylon. And then after Babylon, Medo-Persians took over, the Medes and the Persians. And that empire was like a bear. It was very demanding, very hard, harsh, very strong nation. It was like a bear. And then the next nation that took over, and this is taking over the known world at the time. The next nation that took over was Greece. And remember, under Alexander the Great, how did Greece move? Very quickly. I mean, Alexander the Great was like 36 when he died. And he died saying, I've conquered the whole world. What else am I going to do? What else is there to do? Right, so he would go from nation very fast, like a leopard, very quickly. And in Daniel, it says he had four wings on his back. It's like he was moving very quickly. Well, then the fourth kingdom that came, I want to read you verses 7 and 8 of Daniel chapter 7. It says, and after this I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Remember that? While I was contemplating the horns, those 10 kingdoms, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it, and behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great boasts. So in other words, there's one small horn, or there's one of those, there's another kingdom in that last kingdom. There's 10 kingdoms that make up the last nation. There's another kingdom comes in and he destroys three of those kingdoms. And he takes over. And he actually becomes the world leader. He is the beast that we're talking about in Revelation chapter 13. He's the one that takes over. right? And that kingdom, we know, was Rome. That Rome was such a mighty kingdom. It was so harsh and it was so hard. All right, back in Daniel's day, we know that he was seeing a vision of Rome. And that's why so many people say that during the tribulation, it'll be much like the Roman kingdom. It's an extension of the Roman kingdom. Except during Revelation, what we're going to see in these last days, it's an extension of that kingdom, except it is much, much worse. In fact, Daniel himself said, this fourth kingdom, it's amazingly bad. It's horrible. In Daniel chapter 7, you go down to verse 19, it says, "Then I desired to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, and his teeth of iron and his claws of bronze, of which devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet. And the meaning of the 10 horns which were on his head, and the other horn which came up, and before which three of them fell, namely the horn that had eyes and mouth uttering great boasts, and which was larger in appearance than its associates." Isn't that amazing? It was a small horn that came up, and yet it's larger in appearance than the others. Why? Because it takes over. Because we're talking about the beast here, the Antichrist, who takes over the kingdom. That last, especially during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Takes over the world leadership. Now we look at, we look back in history and we say, we have world leaders then. You know, you had the Medo-Persians, you had Babylon, you had Greece, you had Rome, but there were still parts in the world that didn't. Guess what? During the tribulation, every tribe, every nation is going to be affected. There will not be places you can skitter away and hide. There won't be. This will be all-consuming. This beast or this kingdom will be amazing, and it'll be amazingly harsh. Daniel even saw that. It said in verse 21, "I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them." Now, we're going to see that next week. We're going to see when that happens. Overpowering them. "Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the Highest One at the end of the tribulation, and the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom during the millennial kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. As for the 10 horns out of the kingdoms, this kingdom, 10 kings will arise, and another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones and will subdue 3 kings. He will speak out against the Most High, against God, and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand for what? A time, times, and half a time." We're talking about 3.5 years. So the end of the tribulation, the last half of the tribulation, is called the Great Tribulation. First half is going to be seen, much of it is, peace. Peace, relative safety. And yet there's going to be all sorts of natural disasters going on, earthquakes, hailstones, fire, all of these natural disasters. But yet this world leader will be seen as a person of peace. And yet during what we looked at last week, during the half point of the tribulation, Satan's going to be loose and he is going to wreak havoc on the earth, but he's going to do it through this world leader, because he is going to possess this world leader, this beast. It's going to be a horrible time. It's going to be a very harsh time. Now, I want to look at, real quickly, before we go, I want to look at the characteristics of this beast. The characteristics. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 on, it says, "A king will arise, insolent and skilled in intrigue. His power will be mighty, but not by his own power." Remember, he'll be gaining power from Satan. "And he will destroy to an extraordinary degree and prosper and perform his will. He will destroy mighty men and the holy people. And through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence. And he will magnify himself in his heart." This is his character. "And he will destroy many while they are at ease. He will even oppose the Prince of Princes, Jesus Christ, but he will be broken without human agency. In other words, he's going to lose. He's going to lose. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, says, he will destroy the city Jerusalem and the sanctuary, and its end will come like with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined, and he will make a firm covenant with the many. He's going to make a treaty with Israel for 1 week for 7 years. But in the middle of that seven-year period, he'll put a stop to the sacrifice and grain offerings, and the wing of abominations will come. One who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate, on him. Okay? Daniel chapter 11 says, then the king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and will speak monstrous things against God of gods, and he will prosper until the indignation is finished. For that which is decreed will be done. I want you to hear that. That which is decreed will be done. He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the desire of women, nor will he show regard for any other god, for he will magnify himself above all. But instead, he will honor a god of fortress, a god whom his fathers did not know. He will honor him with gold, silver, and costly stones and treasures. In other words, he's going to demand worship for himself. He will take action against the strongholds, the strongest of fortresses, with the help of a foreign god, Satan. He will give great honor to those who acknowledge him and will cause them to rule over the many and will parcel out land for a price. He's going to own everything. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come until the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Right? And it goes on. All of these things, they go on and explain the character of this beast, this character of this person. It's going to be representation of a nation. This nation is going to rule, but it's going to morph into a person, into a beast. And I want you to see the end of chapter of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 2. Gave all of these representatives, he's going to be like the first three kingdoms. He's going to have the characteristics of, except he's going to be so much worse. It says, and the dragon gave him the power and his throne and great authority. Satan will be giving him that authority. Now, how is he able to do that? Well, that's why I wanted to do this whole thing. But if you look down in verse 7, it says, it was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. Guess who gave him that? Satan. Why? Because God allowed him to. I want you to see that. We look at this and say, well, this is horrible because he's going to overcome the saints. In fact, in verse 4, I want to keep going. But anyway, in verse 3, I saw one of the heads, this would be the Antichrist, I saw one of the heads as if it had been slain and his fatal wound was healed. In other words, he dies, comes back to life. And because of that, the whole world's going to worship him. Because they're going to see a miracle. Right? Or at least seemingly see a miracle. It could be a fake. I don't know. But they're going to look at it and say, well, that had to be true. He's going to gain worship. What is Satan's goal? His goal is to be like Christ. He wants to gain worship. He wants to gain praise. He wants to gain honor. He wants to gain glory. He wants all of this because he thinks to be like God or to be God is so much better than serving God. Remember, he was a head angel at one point and he chose to oppose God rather than follow him. He's going to lose. He's going to lose in the end. Because all of this is decreed and Satan's going to take over and Satan's going to have all of this power through this the guy called the beast. Now, we've now had an introduction to him, okay? Next week, we're going to look at the rest of this and we're going to see, number one, more of his characteristic, but number two, we're going to see what he does with those who are saved during that tribulation period. And we're also going to see the outcome of that. But what we also are going to see is what those who are saved during that tribulation period period are to do. And it reflects on what we are to do today. It's amazing how even then, what he was prophesied then, how we can glean from that and learn from that today. So what I want you to introduce you to today is this man called the beast, this nation who is following this man called the beast. He is going to wreak havoc on the world, but he is going to set up his kingdom as being God. He is going to emulate God. Remember, he wants to look like God. He wants people to think he's so powerful. He's so glorious. He's so wonderful. And he wants that worship. Folks, he wants that today. It's just he's working from heaven and earth instead of working just on the earth. He wants people to glorify him today. He wants people to think more of him than of God today. And yes, he is powerful. Yes, he has been given power. But God is the one who gave it to him. God is still in control. And I want you to see this. At this point in time, he is still not able to overcome the saints. You look at it and you say, well, now, wait a second. There's Jim Elliot. He died, you know, serving God. There's all of these people down through history who have been martyred. Look at Fox's Book of Martyrs. Amazing how many people who have died for their faith. Died because they were proclaiming Christ. You say, well, Satan must be winning. No. Guess where they are? They're standing before Christ, right? So if the worst thing in the world is to die, then guess where we can be when we die? Standing before our Savior, before God. But here during the tribulation, he is actually given permission to overcome the saints, to overcome, in other words, to wreak havoc on them. But what we're seeing, what we have seen before, is those saints who die during the tribulation period will be under the throne, and there'll be a multitude of them. They'll be saying, come on, let's avenge our blood. Christ says, just wait a little longer. You will. We will. Right? So that all of this, I want you to know, I'm not doing any of that. I'm just trying to explain scripture. But this beast here is a frightful figure, but not to us. Not to those who really have, who truly have Christ as their Savior. It's not going to be a frightful time. It's an exciting time thinking about what is coming. It's exciting because we know the end. In the end, Satan will be defeated. Satan will be judged. He thinks he has so much power, and he believes that he can usurp God. Guess what? Our God is greater. And our God is the one who wants to be everyone's God. That's why it's so important that as we live, we share Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't have a relationship with him, I would invite you today to accept that free gift. The Bible says that the wages of sin, that's death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I would encourage you to accept Christ as your Savior, your Lord today, your Master. You can follow him. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, remember, Satan has great power and he's going to wreak havoc and everything, but he loses. He loses because our God is truly in control. You can trust God. So whatever going on in your life, Satan may be attacking you. Satan may be working on through your physical or through your mental or through your relationships, whatever. Satan may be trying to discourage you. Trying to get you to where you're saying, all right, I can't trust God anymore. Guess what? God is still in control. Satan is not that powerful. He doesn't have final say. God does. You can trust your Father. So whatever is happening in your life, you can trust your Abba, Daddy, Father. He loves you that much. And yes, we make a mess of things here on earth. We have problems here on earth, but we also have a Father who is living in us and through us. And according to Philippians, what do? Instead of being anxious, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God, and then the peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You want true peace with God? Go to him. Go to him. He wants to give it. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this introduction into the beast, Lord, the Antichrist, the one who hates you, the one who will rule the world and try and force everyone to hate you, try and force everyone into his worship, to worship him. And he'll succeed largely. But Lord God, that won't last. It's given over to him for a time and times and half a time. For 3.5 years, he will be amazingly powerful. But Lord God, you're going to win. He'll have a great army at the end. All the nations come in the Battle of Armageddon and try and defeat you. And with a word of your mouth, you'll slaughter them. Why? Because, Lord God, you are powerful. You are the God of gods, the Lord of lords. I pray that we would recognize that and live for you. Strive to live to please you. Strive to show Christ through our life. Father, we are loving you. We are praising you because you have loved us first. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Would you take your chorus book?